The gospel reading today chosen by the lectionary is Luke chapter 2 at verse 41. Luke chapter 2 at verse 41. If you have the bulletin that follows the lectionary, it's also on the back of the bulletin. And this passage, of course, is speaking about Jesus. Every year, his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day, and then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. And then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. And then we are going to read also from Colossians chapter 3. In the New Testament, the letters of Paul. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. Paul writing to the church there and to us. Hear God's word. "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged." Thus far, the reading from God's holy word. We're looking at two passages of scripture today. The first, the reading from the gospel, Luke 2, 41 to 52, the main points of that story, and then mostly focusing on Colossians 3. Title of the sermon today is Following Christ, Living as God's Chosen People. Let's pray. Lord God, help us to receive the gospel. Help us, Lord, to be changed by it. We ask that there would be nothing that would stand in the way of us being able to hear the teaching of the Lord through his apostles. We pray, Lord, today that the sermon would be faithful, that the end result would be that you would be our rock and our redeemer. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. When we think about the gospel, we need to start out with the thought that Jesus is very God of very God. He is the one who came down from heaven for our salvation, that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. And he was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary. And he continues to be God and man in two distinct natures in one person. And we can see this as we look at the gospel, where Jesus is able to heal people. He does this because he is the Lord of heaven and earth. He is God. And we see him also weeping at a funeral. We see him thirsting at the cross. We see him crying out in the experience of being forsaken by his Father. He is God and man, two distinct natures in one person. And as man, the gospel reveals that Jesus grew in wisdom and stature. They spell this out for us, that here's what Jesus did. He grew up as a child, but his was a perfect life, and his was one of acquiring wisdom as he grew. And our Lord is the pattern and example for us to follow. He learned the scriptures. Jesus learned obedience. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 tells us, through the things he suffered. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And so we should be able to do the same. But why is it that some people have a hard time learning and have to be taught again and again because they didn't get it the first time? Hebrews chapter 5, the same passage where we read that Jesus learned obedience from what he suffered, and he was the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, was designated by God to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek. And the writer goes on to say, we got a lot to tell you about this, but it's hard to explain because you're slow to learn. Now, that would be something that my geometry teacher would say to me in high school. Wasn't that nice, the way he put it, but that was the idea, all right? And so for us in the church, it's not geometry, and it's not rocket science. It's plain English coming from the Greek. It is not that the teaching is confusing, but it's due to the problems within us. And so the writer says, we have much to say about this, but it's hard to explain because you are slow to learn. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. And so we need to think about what he's saying here, that we need to be able for mature. Let's say, for instance, we don't have a Sunday school teacher, and there's 10 minutes of teaching, and you can step in and teach the elementary things of the gospel that you've heard for years and years and years. And if you can't do that, if you've got to be taught all this over again, the writer says, you need milk, not solid food. So he's telling these people that are in the church here that he's writing to, he said, some of you are babies, and you're sitting in a high chair, and people have to feed you Gerber food, baby food, and milk, because you're a spiritual infant. And so I think back when our church in 1985, we were blessed with quite a few children, and it was getting kind of noisy in the church, and some of the parents were getting frustrated, and we came up with the idea of having children's church. Well, almost everything in the doing the church, there's some controversy that goes along with it, and there certainly was with that. And some of the people that objected to it were older people, didn't have any kids. And they would tell me, you know, we get the most out of the children's sermon. So we like to see the kids come up and hear the message, and we get the most out of that. And I guess I was kind of a young Turk at the time, you know, and I went to this passage and, you know, and told him, you know, it sounds to me like you want baby food instead of steak. That's exactly what it sounds like. So don't tell me that again. You know, it's not for you that this teaching is for the kids. So the writer says, you need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness, but solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. And so whatever Christ says to you, you have to receive it, and you have to train yourself. And these people here heard some things. They didn't want to receive them, and they refused. They refused to train themselves. And their maturity was arrested. They didn't grow anymore. And we're going to go through some of this stuff here in this passage, what we have to look out for. And the first point is that following Jesus, we need to make the most of every opportunity to learn and grow. And that's the point of Luke 2. This is what Jesus did. He grew in wisdom and stature. We see him at the temple because he had to learn about what his father taught. And in our passage today in Colossians, the Lord's apostle tells us in verse 9, ahead of our reading, so I didn't read this, but it's the background for what we're going to go through. But now you must rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have put off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. So the literal Greek there is that we have to put off the old self. Okay, now the stuff that came from our sinful nature, from Adam, and put on the new self. And what came from, what's part of the sinful nature? Anger. You know, if you're hostile all the time, rage, malice, slander. Christians ought not to be doing these things. Filthy language, lying, don't lie to each other. You've put off your old self. And you have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge and the image of its creator. And so we're to see Christ in our life. We're made in the image of God, and we want that full image. Not the stuff that's been broken, we want that repaired with the word of God. And so in verse 12, Paul goes on with that imagery of getting dressed, put off, put on, and clothe yourselves, he says, with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with these Christian virtues. Compassion. And if you know Christ, then you know his compassion. If you know God in the saving way, that he's merciful and compassionate God. So what are you to be like if you're God's chosen people and holy love? You're to be a person who's got compassion and care about others. Kindness. We know what that is, but that has to describe us. Humility, as opposed to being arrogant. Jesus said that he was humble in heart. Moses, who was close to God, was the most humble person on the face of the earth, the scripture says. So if you're going to draw near to God, your pride, that sinful pride, is going to just be shattered. And you're going to experience humility. And you're going to wear that like a piece of clothing. Gentleness and patience. We look at that list, and there's probably one of those that we need to work on. for the coming year. Patience would be mine, because I can be kind of impatient. And we're to wear that like clothing. So today you realize I'm wearing a suit. If I would take it off, you would wonder why. Maybe I was hot, or maybe I wasn't feeling well. But we have the same question when we come across a Christian who isn't compassionate, who's not kind, who's arrogant, who's not gentle and impatient. You're not wearing the Christian virtues, this clothing that God requires of his people. We go on to see in verse 13, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. You're not going to see things exactly like someone else in the church all the time. And some feeling, it includes feeling, but it's not the most important. It is all these things, patient, kind, things that we read about in 1 Corinthians 13 that are sometimes hard to really do. But we do, as part of our Christian training, and if we to grow in grace, is to receive these things and put them into practice, as the writer says. We have business in our Father's house, just like Jesus did in Luke 2:49. He was there because he wanted to learn from people that were willing to teach him. And so in verse 16 of our passage in Colossians, we're told, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your heart to God. So the word of Christ, his teaching, his gospel, is to be so well known by you that it lives in you, it dwells in you. And so this is going to shape your worldview, how you look at things. It's going to shape your responses to the problems in your life. And we have a need of ongoing teaching. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So we need that admonishment with one another. We need to be corrected at times. We all need to be corrected. If you think you don't, you'll find out differently in the church, every one of us. And that's why we need the fellowship of the church. And here's what we're required to do. We're required to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. What are these musical exercises about? Is praise of Christ. And so do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus in verse 17. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. So we're talking about our words that we speak. We're talking about our deeds, our actions. And this verse summarizes the whole of the Christian life. Much like the Westminster Shorter Catechism, question 1, what is the chief end of man? What is our primary purpose? To glorify God and to enjoy him forever. The latter part of the passage takes up the fifth commandment, and we see here we have a God-given responsibility to follow the fifth commandment. In the story of our Lord, we see that he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. He grew in wisdom and stature. And we too have a responsibility to follow what God says, to be honoring others. And this is part, in verse 5, this is a blessing that we have for wisdom, that we can attain unity in the church. Let the peace of Christ, in verse 15, rule in your heart, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Okay, so the peace of Christ comes through the cross. It's to rule in our hearts. There shouldn't be this storm that's in our hearts that threatens us and threatens the other people in our lives, like a little volcano. What should be is the peace of Christ that we live by and share with others. We need to live in that and to practice thankfulness. Very important. Envy and discontent destroy the peace. We want what someone else has. Practice thankfulness. Why aren't you thankful for blessings that you get from the Lord? When these two things are going on, peace of Christ ruling, the practice of thankfulness, we're on our way to real good things in whatever relationship we have. If it's family, if it's marriage, if it's church. And the fifth commandment, honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God gives you, relates to more than just my parents. My parents are both passed on. And so is this commandment then no longer in force for me? The catechism would say no, that the commandment requires preserving the honor and performing the duty belonging to everyone in their several places and relations as superiors, inferiors, or equals. In other words, the fifth commandment is really about our relationships. And it starts out with your mother and father. That's the first relationship you have and how you need to obey them. But then it goes on to marriage and family and so forth. And so in verse 18, the writer moves on to wives. Submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. And husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. And children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. So as the catechism of the Presbyterian Church goes through this, they talk about superiors, inferiors, and equals, which some people don't like these categories, but I think they're extremely helpful. So there are relationships you have. If you go to work and you have a boss, he's a superior and you're an inferior. Now you're both in the image of God, but he is in the place of running the business. And if you're married, you and your wife are equals. And so you have these different relationships, and they're changing. So at some point, if you run the business, or at some point you're the school teacher, you'll be in a superior position. And if we follow that through today, if I'm preaching a sermon, the Word of God, I would be the superior at this point. You would be the inferior in the sense of receiving that. But, you know, we're all equal. That's the commandment is very clear about that. But we need to realize where we are in the relationship. And so in verse 18, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Now, a lot of people don't like that. But we recall our example of Jesus. Our Lord was heard for his reverent submission. And we need to learn that. It's nothing bad about it. It's how the military is run, of course, when people are understanding of those over them. And our Lord made the husbands the head of the house. He didn't make them the tyrants. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. So there's a little qualification there. And the husbands are to love their wives. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. So it works both ways, just like the commandment says, that we have to have a respect that's due others as well, that children need to obey their parents. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. This is what Jesus did. And fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. And so fathers need to act out of wisdom and love, and not to treat their children in a bad way in being a parent. And so we have the blessing of the fifth commandment, because God wants in our relationships the peace of Christ to rule and the practice of thankfulness. And so as you are with others, be aware of how God blesses you through them, and recall that to your minds as you live your life as God's chosen people, as Paul says in verse 12, holy and dearly loved. God wants his people to grow in grace and knowledge of Christ, and that's going to require a study and practice of the word, which is the duty of being a Christian, and putting that into practice. Train yourself. Long time ago, you were taught 2 + 2 = 4 and all those other mathematical equations, and you haven't forgotten them because you use them all the time. Well, in the church, we need to hear it and put it into practice, as Jesus said, to build our life upon it. And so refusal to heed the word will arrest our training and make us spiritually immature. And the practice of genuine Christianity will be as visible as the clothes we wear. Let's pray. Father, in 2025, we would ask that your church would grow in numbers and also in grace. And we pray that this would be the clothing of each one of us as we desire to live for you, as we live out that love and compassion that you have bestowed upon us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.